saving conversion and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, the Lord does give peculiar faith which this world just cannot understand. And so I've entitled today's sermon, A Believer's Peculiar Faith. A Believer's Peculiar Faith. In today's well-known passage of Holy Scripture, God would prove once more the aged patriarch's faith with this most severest of trials. And that, of course, was the offering up of his only son, Isaac, whom he lovest. He loved him as his own soul. Surely this was the most severest trial Abraham was to be put through. And whosoever said trials get easier as you get older was not telling you the whole truth, were they? I spoke to my wife about this recently, and we've been through some difficult trials since the Lord has saved us, and sometimes they do get harder, friends, but be encouraged that with more severe trials also comes increased faith and courage which the Lord God gives. Because the path of the just is as the shining light that shine more and more unto the perfect day, says God's most precious word. Remember, to date, Abraham had already undergone many, many severe, trying, difficult trials. He was asked to leave his homeland and his kindred, and to leave it all, as it were, and to go into the land of Canaan. And the Lord gave him that faith to do so. And immediately after he had arrived in the promised land, what happens? A famine, as it were, happens in that land. Immediately after. But by faith he sojourned in Egypt. And what happened in Egypt? The Egyptians seized his beloved wife and him, Sarah, didn't they? And the Lord rescued him from that and actually sent him out again, far fuller than when he went in. Abraham, by faith, faced incredible odds in the battle of the four and five kings. The Lord God gave him this peculiar faith. And being not weak in faith, says God's word in Romans 4, 19, verse 23, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What extraordinary faith, peculiar faith, did the Lord God give Abraham, friends? And we see it in today's sermon text, starting from Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass, after these things, says God's holy word, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Do you see that? He says, Behold, here I am. I'm ready, Lord. I may be stricken in age, as it were. I may be nigh close to death, but I'm here. I'm ready, as it were. Oh no, not more trials, Lord. No, I've already been through so many trials, I can't take it anymore. Oh, behold, here I am. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to do your bidding, as it were. He says, Behold, here I am, Lord. Such holy fellowship and communion with the Lord God. But also, it says that God didn't tempt Abraham. Does Holy Scripture contradict itself here, dear friends? Does God tempt his people? Does not the Apostle James tell us in James 1, 13 and 14 that God tempts no man? And this, of course, is right. God does not tempt any man to sin. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. God does, however, in another sense, tempt and try our faith that we be not high-minded. Try it in the furnace of affliction to see really if we're holding onto God's most precious word. Try it in the fiery furnace of affliction 7 times. Do we have God's word within us, deep within us? And that through such circumstances, our faith is proven to be a work of Almighty God and not just an intellectual assent, as it were. And what does God's holy word say to Abraham in verse 2? Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Do you see that? Take now thy son, Abraham. Do this straight away. Hearken to my voice straight away. In other words, Abraham, act upon my words immediately. Don't go to the arm of flesh. Don't consort with the arm of flesh. Immediately by faith, do my bidding, as it were. Hearken to my voice. Immediately, you must not consort to the arm of flesh again. You must not go to worldly reasoning and philosophy. You must hearken to my voice. Take now thy son. Oh, what a son Abraham had to take. What a son Isaac, his precious son who he loved as his own soul. It was thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, he was asked to take, the son of his old age, his only son he had with Sarah, not the bondwoman who was cast out with Ishmael, who was mocking Isaac, the son that God promised him would be the heir of all God's elect, the heir of faith in the world, Isaac, who meant laughter. Who brought a smile, as it were, to their face, and a great joy in their old age, whom thou lovest, whom his soul delighted in, who his heart was knit with, who his very soul was knit with, because he was a believer. Isaac believed in Abraham's God. He believed in it. A believing, affectionate son who was as his own soul, who gave great joy to Abraham and his wife at their old age. This is it, whom he was to take now and to offer unto the Lord. This is whom God wants you to offer as a burnt offering. A burnt offering. Think about that. Think about that. Take your precious son, who is but bone of your bones and flesh of your flesh, not only knit with your heart, but your very soul, who's a believer. Take him now, Abraham, right away by faith. And take him and offer him up as a burnt sacrifice and in a devotional, reverent way, as you would do with a lamb. In a reverent way, focusing upon devotion and sacrifice to the Lord, because an atonement needs to be made. You've got to do this now, Abraham, by faith. This severe trial must have come to Abraham as a knife through his very heart, through his very soul. It must have broken his heart, friends. One would imagine that such a sore, perplexing trial would stagger the strongest of faith. And yet, we are told in God's holy word in Romans 4:20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He believed in the promises of God. He knew the character of the hope of God, didn't he? Remember Lot? Remember when Lot was in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was taken away, as it were, and Abraham approached the Lord and said, if it be 40, if there be 35, if there be 30, will you destroy the city for one righteous, as it were? No, no, not for one righteous. He knew the character of Almighty God. He knew God to be righteous, to be a man of his word, as it were, God of his word. And sometimes, dear friends, the Lord gives us peculiar trials, which we would not want ourselves, would we? Nor do we first understand why we have to go through these things. And think for a minute, just for a minute, what faithful Abraham was called to do by human reasoning. He was asked, in essence, to butcher his only precious beloved son. Does this not contradict God's holy character and his holy law he must have fought? Does this not contradict everything I've known about God before? Thou shalt not kill. Everything that God has taken me through? Does this not contradict it? Would not such a barbaric act cause God's name to be blasphemed among the heathen, as it were, that hate God's law, that hate God's people, of whom Abraham was to shine as a light in the world in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation? Even they would abhor such a depraved crime to one's own family as this. And what of my dear wife, my wife Sarah? What would she think of such an act of barbaric nature? Abraham must have thought, all these things must have been going through his head. How will I ever turn again to her, who is nigh herself unto death? How will she forgive me? Surely this will finish her off. Surely she will disown me as a bloody man, as a violent man, who has murdered her long-awaited miracle son, Isaac, in her old age and my old age, from the Lord. The hope of our family, the hope of faith in the world to come. Oh, that God would spare me this most severest trial. And sometimes we can be like that, can't we? Oh, that God would spare me these trials. Oh, that I would concentrate on other things, as it were. Dear friends, all we need to do is look to the faith that God gave Abraham. The Lord God gives us, if we truly will seek it, the same peculiar faith in measure. And oh, that God would take my life instead of Isaac's, Abraham must have been praying. Might Abraham have argued against so great a sore as affliction as this? And where was this most peculiar trial of Abraham's faith to take place? Was it not in the land of Moriah, which was around about 45 miles away from where they were in Bathsheba? 45 miles away. That's about 3 days' trek, journey at least, from where they were with the donkeys and supplies. And Abraham, remember, was well stricken in age. And no doubt this would make this trial of faith agonizingly more painful for the aged patriarch to think what he'd have to do in those 3 days, looking with his son, beholding his countenance, looking at joy, his heart being flooded with the memories of his precious son. No doubt his heart and his soul was wrenched as he would have been looking into his son's loving eyes, knowing what he would have to perform shortly upon the mountain which the Lord will tell him to offer his son. Would Abraham finally buckle under the intense pressure now of his trial? Would his intense love for Isaac make him buckle? Would he say, I can't do it, Lord. I can't do it. This is my precious son. This is whom thou hast given in my old age. You've promised me that through Isaac, through my seed, that the heavens, my seed will be as the heavens of the earth, and all the earth would be blessed through him. You've promised him. Promise me that the Savior of the world, in essence, would come from Isaac. Well, what does God's holy word say? What does the holy text set before us say in verse 3? And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, his donkey, and took his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Do you see that? Do you see that? He rose up early in the morning. He rose up early in the morning, knowing what he had to do. No lying here, no trying to thwart what was going to happen, as it were. And he took young, able men, as it were. He didn't, in his estate, take the people he knew to be sick, to try to thwart, try to hamper. This perfect obedience here, perfect, peculiar faith here, friends. What kind of man is this, anyway? What kind of peculiar faith and obedience is this? What extraordinary, peculiar faith is this, friends? It's not of this world, is it? It's not of this world. And God's word tells us in verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And oh, what a place that must have seemed. What a dark place that must have seemed. And who can tell what the aged patriarch must have been feeling during those 3 days' journey to that dark place of death. In my mind's eye, I think faithful Abraham was a broken man. He was a broken man inside. I think he was like Joseph, who yearned for his father's embrace when he was amongst his brethren. He yearned for it, but he kept silent. And I am persuaded his bowels often yearned over his dear son Isaac, beholding him, loving him, cherishing every moment with him, but knowing what he'd soon have to do, the fateful blow that he'd have to do, and then refraining himself that he may turn aside on that journey to weep bitterly and pour out his heart before the Lord. And no wonder the text set before us says, Abraham lifted up his eyes. What heavy eyes those eyes must have been, full of tears, full of sorrow, acquainted with grief, as it were. Surely, prayerfully, he did raise his eyes to that dreaded place by God's help. But he, not doubting the promise of God and being strong in faith, says unto his young men in verse 5, abide ye here with the ass, with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Both of us, in other words, we're going to worship the Lord God and we're going to come back to you. He believed that if he was to obey God's holy word by faith, as severe as it was, that God would raise Isaac from the dead again. He believed in that. He believed in the promises of God. And God's holy word carries on to say in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, that heavy burden. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Remember, Abraham here is well stricken in age. He couldn't carry the wood. His son, his precious son Isaac, had that heavy burden upon him. He lays upon his dear son Isaac the wood to carry to the destination of worship, where they were to worship the Lord God, of which he would soon have to strike him down with a knife and then burn him as a burnt offering with fire in his other hand. And just the laying of the heavy wood upon Isaac's shoulders, who was to be the burnt offering, must have been heart-wrenching. It must have been heart-wrenching as he laid that heavy burden upon his innocent son. And verse 7 goes on to say that Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, my father, a respectful, loving child, my father.
My father, here I am, Abraham said, my son. This holy, reverent respect one for another. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? We see here the holy reverence the son has to his beloved father. And the love and the closeness the father has for his son. And Isaac asks his father that question, doesn't he? Behold the fire, father, and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb? You see, Isaac, from a young age, believed in the Lord God. He believed in an atonement. Father, we can't come to God as we are. We need an atonement. We need a sacrifice. But blood needs to be spilled. A life needs to be taken. Our sin is that heinous. Father, we need a lamb. He was a believer. He believed in an atonement. How beautiful is early piety in a child. A child that's saved in their youth. How beautiful that is, friends. And how much harder must those words have been to Abraham that was said in verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both of them, so they went both of them together. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself. And God's holy word goes on to say in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Perfect, peculiar faith and obedience. Laid it all in order. Not wetted the wood. Perfectly in order. Perfectly. Willing to follow through on God's words, as it were. And I think as they approached that dreaded bitter place, which God told him of, that Abraham at length, with many tears, and with the utmost affection in his heart towards his precious son, cried out to his son, thou art the lamb, thou art the lamb, my son. God has bidden me to sacrifice you, to offer you up as a burnt offering. Thou art the son, thou art the offering, my son. God has commanded me to offer you as a burnt offering. It is you, my precious, believing, affectionate son, who is everything to me, who is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, who is knit with our souls together as unto the Lord. It is you who the Lord has asked me to offer. And this is the mysterious divine call of Almighty God, which I must obey. And when Isaac is bound and laid upon that well-prepared altar, what resistance do we see he gave? We don't see any resistance, do we, friends? Nothing. Does he say, you can't do this? You can't do this, my father. You've lost your mind. You can't do this. Does he complain and try to escape, as it were? He very well could have. He was stronger than his father. He was a young man. His father was well stricken in age, hence he had the wood upon his shoulders. He could have. No, not a whisper, not a peep comes out of him. Silent he goes, as it were. Perhaps even he was praying for his father, being a believer. He was praying, oh Lord, give him a steadfast hand, whilst he is doing that. He understood the gravity of the situation. He understood that this was God's providential hand upon them. He kept silent and was willing to be offered. He was a partaker of like precious faith with his father. And oh, how his obedience and willingness to honor his father and his father God must have doubly broken Abraham's heart and must have torn his soul, as it were. And oh, what holy acceptance from his son must have torn deep and cut to the very depths of his soul whilst he was doing that. Friends, oh, what peculiar faith and obedience is this? that the world has ever known, that both Father and Son would resign their very lives and souls that the will of God may be accomplished in them. Behold now, dear congregation, in your mind's eye, the aged, tender, loving Father, with no doubt many tears in his eyes and a broken heart, raises that fearful knife, as it were, that weapon to smite down his precious Son, whom he loved as his own soul, who was his delight, which would be the great leveler in his life, as it were, and in his family's life. It would ruin everything that went before him. But now he prepares his heart to obey his heavenly calling. And what saith God's holy word? In verse 11, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He took the knife. His son's upon the altar. Perhaps his son's praying for him, praying that his faith would not waver, praying, Father, you have to do it. God has bidden you to do it. And Abraham, you can see with many tears in his eyes, broken man, having to slay his own son. And just about as he's about to do it, in verse 11 it says, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Just as about he's about to make that fateful cut. Notice Abraham's name was called out twice to grab his attention. Abraham, Abraham, he's just about to do it. And God's word goes on to say in verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes. You can imagine the ancient patriarch there with the knife nigh unto Isaac's throat, as it were, his heart broken, still willing, as it were, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up of a burnt for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. In the stead of his sons, of his son. And so you can imagine the aged patriarch there. And the angel calls up, Abraham, Abraham. And then he sees the ram. And this, of course, is a picture. It's a figure, isn't it? The ram, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, who is crowned with those thickets, those thorns upon his head. It's a figure. You don't have to sacrifice your son. God has provided a lamb. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Son of God, who was willing to lay down his holy life in my stead. It was Christ that did it. It points to the cross of Calvary. This great event is prophetic. It is a picture of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary for all of our sins. Friends, God the Father took his only begotten Son, whom he loved from eternity past. He took him who came into this world to die as a willing sacrifice for all our sins, the just for the unjust, to bring us rebels to God. Behold the perfect obedience of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It was Jesus who carried the heavy load of all your sin. Dear friends, the whole weight, the whole load of it all, it was Jesus Christ that put it upon his shoulders, that bare them all away on the cross of Calvary. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was oppressed and
and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Friend, what will you do with Jesus Christ today? A lamb has been provided. A lamb has been provided. Will you hold, will you put your hands by faith upon the Lamb of God? By faith, put it upon him, all upon him by faith, who alone can take your sin away, who alone is the atonement, the perfect, willing, obedient atonement for all your sins, who bore them away on the cross of Calvary. Will you receive him now into your heart and believe on his precious name and be saved? And lay hold upon the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Will you lay hold upon him by faith and believe in him and be converted and be saved? And verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Have you seen by faith the dying Saviour, suffering and dying in your stead? The perfect Holy One. Have you seen by faith him rising from the dead at the victory over sin and death for your sins? Do you know of his love and his power working in your heart? Will you receive Christ into your heart and your life this day by faith? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God will provide. He has provided. He's provided for our souls a lamb, a perfect holy lamb in our stead. Do you know of it? Have you felt his power? It's not an intellectual assent. Have you felt the moving of the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life, friends? God will provide. He has provided an atonement, a lamb. Will you believe? Or will you leave this place today unbelieving? God will provide. I hope and pray that we will all here know of God's grace and that Lamb of God that takes away all of our sins by faith. Amen.
I need